Good evening, everyone. This is Reverend Charles Womack. Greetings from Faith-Driven, Grace-Living Ministries. Y'all, have any of us y'all ever think back? You're on a time, y'all, a phase? Y'all, that phase may very well be right now, when we were all at the pinnacle of our success, when we had or have everything we want and desire at that or this time. But yet, y'all, there was a void, an emptiness. Y'all, something was missing. Y'all, that fulfillment is just not there. Well, y'all, I would like y'all to speak on this very concept. So let us, y'all, accept as a title of our message this evening, I have everything and yet nothing. Once again, the title of our message this evening is, I have everything and yet nothing. Y'all, have y'all ever left home and had a funny feeling that you forgot something? I mean, you don't know what it was that you forgot. You just know you had that nagging feeling. Y'all, a man, y'all, he said that when he was a kid, he said every time, y'all, his family would go on vacation, he said his mom would say to his dad, honey, we've got to go back home. I think I left the iron on. I don't want to burn the house down. Yo, he said his dad, yo, would turn around and they would go back home and check. And the iron, yo, it was turned off. Now, yo, he said this continued for several trips. Finally, yo, one trip, yo, when she told her husband to turn around and go back home, well, he didn't say a word. Yo, he pulled the car over to the shoulder. He got out, opened the trunk, and handed her the iron. Y'all, our passage this evening, y'all, it introduces us, y'all, to a young man searching for something. Y'all, he's often called the rich young ruler. Matthew, Mark, Luke, it tells us, y'all, that he was rich. He was a man, y'all, who had two things, everything and nothing. He was wealthy and successful, but he turned away from Jesus with nothing. He was searching for something more in life. Y'all, millions of people are searching for something, and they really can't even put their finger on what it is they're searching for. Y'all, the artist by the name of Bono, y'all, he recorded a song about the universal search. He sang, I have run, I have crawled, I have scaled these city walls, only to be with you, but I still haven't found what I'm looking for. Then he goes on, y'all, and he ends it, y'all, by referring to Jesus. He said, you broke the bonds and you loosed the chains, carried the cross of my shame. You know I believe it, but I still haven't found what I'm looking for. Y'all, 2,000 years ago, y'all, there was a young, wealthy, successful leader who came to Jesus, y'all, looking for something. Mark, the 10th chapter, 17th through the 31st verse. In fact, y'all, this is representative of our passage this evening. So let us go ahead and I'll read our passage at this time. Our passage again comes from Mark, the 10th chapter, verse 17 through 31. And it reads, and when he was gone forth into the way, they came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, good master, what shall I do that I might inherit eternal life? And Jesus said unto him, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Defraud not. Honor thy father and mother. And he answered and said unto him, master, all those things I have observed from my youth. Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him and said unto him, one thing thou lackest, go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give it to the poor, and thou shalt have treasures in heaven, and come, take up your cross, and follow me. And he was sad at that saying, and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. And Jesus looked round about and said unto his disciples, How hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? And the disciples were astonished at his words. But Jesus answered again and said unto them, Children, how hard is it for them that trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God? It is easier for a camel to get through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. And they were astonished at these sayings, saying among themselves, Who then can be saved? And Jesus, looking upon them, said, With men it is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Then Peter began to say unto him, Lo, we have left all to follow thee. Then Jesus answered and said, Verily I say unto you, there is no man that has left house, or brethren, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands, for my sake, and the gospel. But he shall, if he does, receive 100-fold now, in this time, houses, and brothers, and sisters, and mothers, and children, and lands, and persecutions, and in the world to come, eternal life. But many that are first shall be last, and the last first. Now, y'all, I have a question for us. Y'all, do we all want to be something? Or y'all, do we want to do something? Y'all, I believe, y'all, this is the unspoken question in the heart of Jesus' conversation with a man in today's gospel. Y'all, it holds before us, y'all, the tension between being and doing, and between meaning and purpose. Is probably all one of the unspoken questions in each of our lives that really needs to be spoken more often. And because if we don't ask it, y'all, for ourselves at some point, well, the circumstances of our lives, they will. You know, this young man, y'all, he was doing something, and he was doing it well. You know, the day he approached Jesus, y'all, he wanted something. I mean, he had purpose in his life, but y'all, he wanted meaning. Y'all, he wanted that one thing that Jesus is talking about. Y'all, I believe, y'all, that most of us, we know the story, y'all. I mean, not just because we heard it from the pulpit, but because, see, many of us, y'all, have lived it too. It's the story, y'all, of the man in today's gospel. I mean, he's done all the right things. He's been obedient and faithful. You know, he's kept all the commandments since he was a kid. He's been successful in life, and he has many possessions. You know, St. Luke says, the man was a ruler and very rich. Luke 18:18-23. You know, he's got power, possession, prestige. He has wealth. You know, he has prestige. He has all of these great gifts that God has blessed. And he's done something with his life. But yet, y'all, he knows that something is still missing. He wants to know, y'all, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Now, y'all, it's not, y'all, a question about getting to heaven. It's about your meaning. It's about your being something. It's about your quality of life. Y'all, he's right, y'all, in asking the question. But he's asking y'all the wrong question. You see, y'all, he wants to know, y'all, what he must do, as if, y'all, the life that he wants is something to be acquired or possessed or gained by expenditure. Now, y'all, I understand. I get it. Y'all, the brother, y'all, he wants, y'all, the missing piece of his life by the only means he knows. But the life, y'all, he wants, y'all, the life I think we all want, y'all, is not, y'all, about doing and purpose. It's about your being and meaning. It's not your outside of us. It's already within us. Y'all, please don't hear that as me, y'all, opposing meaning and purpose as if it's one or the other. It's not. Y'all, it has to be both. But I wonder, y'all, if we become, y'all, so preoccupied with purpose and doing something, that we often, y'all, lose or forget about your meaning and being something. Oftentimes, y'all, we as Christians, we can confuse meaning and purpose. is the meaning, y'all, of your life and my life only what we've accomplished? Y'all, most obituaries would say yes. You know, we tend to mark and to measure our lives, y'all, by what we've done. But is that really, y'all, the sum of who you or I am? I mean, don't we want to be more than what we've done? You know, I do. You know, I want my life, y'all, to matter. I mean, not because of what I do or have done, but because of y'all, who I am. And I wonder, y'all, if that's why y'all, the man in today's gospel, goes to Jesus with his question. It's ironic, y'all, that Jesus says this to this very rich man who has many possessions. He says, "You lack one thing." I can easily imagine this brother, y'all, saying to himself, "One thing? One thing?" Kind of like Albert Iverson. Practice? Practice? Y'all, the brother wanted to know, y'all, what was the one thing that he was missing? I can imagine him, y'all, taking a mental inventory of his life accomplishments and possessions. Y'all, trying to figure out what one thing he still lacks. I can imagine him, y'all, picturing in his mind, I mean, every item he owns, recording everything that he has done, and then y'all wondering what he should or get next. Now, y'all, you know why I can imagine this also, y'all, so easily? It's because, y'all, I've done it. Yes, y'all, I've lived that way. And I wouldn't, y'all, if you have to. But Jesus, y'all, he's talking about, y'all, one thing, not one more thing. Holy Scripture, y'all, it speaks of one thing, y'all, in several places. The psalmist says, "One thing I ask of the Lord that I will seek after, to live in the house of the Lord all of the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple," Psalms 27:4. So maybe all the one thing, y'all, is to be connected to something bigger and beyond ourselves, to know ourselves and lives, y'all, to be more than what we do, or to have to recognize and trust that there is something, y'all, transparent about each one of us. Yo, Jesus, he tells Martha, "There is a need of only one thing," Luke 10:42. Yo, Martha, yo, she was worried and distracted by many things, Luke 10:41. Yo, her life was divided. She was here and there, but not really anywhere. Maybe all the one thing, y'all, is about learning and paying attention, y'all, to what really matters. I mean, being present and showing up to life and becoming whole. Y'all, when the religious authorities questioned the man, y'all, who was born blind from birth, whom Jesus had healed, y'all, he said, "One thing I do know, that though I was blind, I now see," John 9:25. So maybe, y'all, the one thing, y'all, is about seeing. I'm talking about with new eyes, gaining, y'all, a deeper insight, living, y'all, with a new level of consciousness, and acknowledging the life that is before us. St. Paul, yo, he says, yo, that when he and Barnabas and Titus met the leadership in Jerusalem, yo, the leadership asked only one thing, that we remember the poor, Galatians 2:10. So maybe all the one thing common in all of these one things is meaning. I'm talking about, y'all, those peak experiences, when something, y'all, touches, it resonates with us or speaks to us. Y'all, when we say, "Yes, this is it." Y'all, when it feels like we've come home. Y'all, when we have, y'all, an insight that forever changes our life. Y'all, when we lose ourselves in the moment, when we never want that moment to end. Y'all, there are those moments, y'all, that we can't let go of because they won't let go of us. And the thing about, y'all, the one thing is that, y'all, your one thing and my one thing are probably two different things. Y'all, they are unique to each other. But what if, y'all, what if you were the person, y'all, in today's gospel? I mean, what if, y'all, Jesus said to you, "You lack one thing"? I mean, how would you respond? You know, let's try and exercise right quick. Now, we're going to have to exempt those of us who are still driving. You all can't participate. But those of us who are in a safe space, I got a little quick exercise. You know, take a mental inventory of your life, the accomplishments and possessions. Tell me, what's on the list, inventory in your mind? Now, let's be careful here, y'all. See, just because you're the things on your list may not be the one thing, it doesn't mean that they're the wrong thing. You know, they're just not that one thing. But you're a picture in your mind, each item that you own, unto my all the stuff. You'll recall all that you've done and everywhere you've gone and been. What do you see? I mean, what comes to mind? You know, what is the one thing you lack? You know, what would offer you your meaning in your life today? In what ways might it make a difference in the life of another? Not so much of what you do, but by who you are. What would you need to let go of in order to become more fully and authentically yourself? What is the trace of yourself that you would love to leave behind in this world when you're no longer here? My hunch is that whatever that trace is, it just might be that point of the one thing that you will leave and live in this world. He said, you lack one thing. Now, this is not a criticism. It's not a deficiency. It's not even a judgment. It's a door opening to a new life. It's an opportunity, with God, for whom nothing is impossible. Jesus, he was filled with love and compassion for this man because his life, was so empty. He climbed that top of that ladder of success only to find his ladder, leaned against the wrong building. Instead of challenging the man's fulfillment of the law, which Jesus had every right to do, Jesus instead, he took him farther down his own path. So you want to find fulfillment and salvation by doing for God? Then do all of it. Jesus wanted the man to see the futility of finding fulfillment and salvation through doing. But the man, he wouldn't see it. He also, didn't choose to love God more than wealth. Even though Jesus specifically, promised him treasures in heaven. The man, he was more interested in the earthly treasures of men than God's heavenly treasures. This man, he was essentially an idolater. Wealth was his God instead of the true God of the Bible. He put money first. Now that the man, he understood that he had everything and yet nothing. Jesus, he now answers his question. What must I do to be saved? Jesus said in verse 22, come, take up your cross and follow me. The man, like all men by nature, he had an orientation towards work righteousness. He asked, what shall I do? If we really want to know the works of God, it must begin with believing in Jesus, whom the Father has sent. John 6:29. Jesus' purpose, it was not to make this brother sad. Yet, he could only be happy by doing what Jesus told him to do. So he went away sorrowful. He walked away from salvation. Theoretically, there are three ways to get to heaven. Now, I said theoretically, not theologically. But theoretically, number one, a person can die before they reach the age of God's consciousness and accountability. But of course, if one understands what I'm saying, the chances that we probably pass that window. Number two, one can live a perfect life. I mean, never once commit a sin of thought, attitude, or action. Anybody qualify? And number three, we can fall on our knees. We can change our minds towards Jesus. We can confess our sins. And then, we can watch God, provide us everything. So you'll let us not be like the rich young ruler who had everything and yet nothing. And may God bless you. May God keep you is our prayer. Good night, everyone. God bless.